Let me ask you something before we do anything else. You're at 3,500 feet on a hazy afternoon. The visibility is dropping, there's a shelf of cloud building off to your left, and you're not exactly sure how far away it is. How close can you legally fly to that cloud? And how far do you have to be able to see? If you had to answer right now out loud, no fumbling, could you do it? Most of us couldn't, and that's the problem. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we take one piece of this thing we love and try to make you a little safer with it before your next flight. Today we're doing regulations, but not the way you had them shoved at you for the written test. Today, it's Federal Aviation Regulation 9155, basic visual flight rules, weather minimums, the cloud clearances, the numbers every one of us memorized for the knowledge test and then quietly let leak out of our heads the moment we passed. Let's walk through this together, because this is one of those regulations that isn't really about the regulation. It's about not dying in a cloud you thought you could sneak past. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you worked for and paid for and earned. aviationsoul.com. Okay, let's talk about why this rule exists at all. Here's the thing. Nobody tells you when you're a student. The cloud clearance rules are not there to protect you from the cloud. Clouds are soft. You can fly through a cloud and nothing happens to the airplane. The cloud doesn't care. The rule is there to protect you from what's inside the cloud and what's coming out of the other side of it. Inside that cloud, or just behind it, there might be an airplane on an instrument flight plan descending out of the base at 150 knots. That pilot is legally in the cloud. That pilot cannot see you. That pilot is trusting the system. And the system says that if you're flying under visual flight rules, you will stay a specific distance away from that cloud so that when either of you pops out, there's enough time and enough space to not become a statistic. That's the whole idea. The cloud clearances are a buffer. They are reaction time, measured in feet. So let's actually learn the numbers, and I want to teach them to you the way that finally made them stick for me, because I promise you the way it's written in the regulation is not the way it goes into your brain. We're going to start where most of us fly, classy airspace below 10,000 feet. This is the big bucket. Most of your cross-country time, most of your training, that airplane over the farmland at 4,500 feet, that's Class E. Here's the rule. 315-2003, statute miles of flight visibility, and then the cloud clearances. 1,000 feet above the clouds, 500 feet below the clouds, 2,000 feet horizontal from the clouds. 315-2000. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. There's a mnemonic for this that has been passed down in flight schools for decades, and it works because it's a little bit silly. The airplane most of us learned in, the Cessna 152, C-152, cloud clearance 1,000 above, 500 below, 2,000 horizontal, 152. The airplane is telling you the rule every time you say its name. Now hold on to that, because I'm going to show you why 2,000 feet horizontal is the number that actually gets people. 1,000 feet above, 500 below, those you can kind of feel. You've got an altimeter. You can look up and down, but 2,000 feet sideways from a cloud? Nobody has a good instinct for that. 2,000 feet is about a third of a nautical mile. It is a lot farther from that cloud than it feels like when you're staring at it through a hazy windscreen. So let's make it real. Picture that scenario I opened with. You're cruising along and there's a wall of cumulus building off your left wing. It looks close, but it's hard to say. Here's the trap. That cloud is almost always closer than you think, because haze compresses distance and your eye wants to believe you've got room. Pilots skim right down the edge of a cloud, feeling like they're a comfortable distance off, and they're 400 feet away, not 2,400. And on the far side of that cloud could be somebody breaking out of an approach. The practical takeaway when you're paralleling a cloud, give it way more room than your gut says. If you can reach out and it feels close, it is closer than the rule allows. Turn away. Descend. Build the buffer on purpose before you need it. Now let's climb up. At 10,000 feet and above, still in Class E, the rules change and they get bigger. This trips people up, so stay with me. Above 10,000 feet, the visibility requirement jumps to 5 statute miles, and the cloud clearances become 1,000 feet above, 1,000 feet below, and 1 statute mile horizontal. Why does it get bigger up high? Speed airplanes up there are moving faster, A jet doesn't have to be up in the flight levels to be honking along at 250 knots below 10,000, and above 10 they can be quicker still. Faster closure means you need more warning, more visibility, more distance. The rule scales with the danger, so the shorthand up high, 5, 1,000, 1,000, 1 mile, more room for more speed. Here's a little edge case that shows up on check rides and confuses everybody, so let me clean it up for you. That 10,000 foot rule only kicks in when you're also more than 1,200 feet above the surface. So out over high terrain, if the ground itself is up near 10,000 feet and you're only a few hundred feet over it, you're still playing by the lower, closer in rules. The regulation cares about your height above the ground, not just the number on the altimeter. Don't let that one catch you over the mountains. Now I need to talk about the airspace that hurts the most people, and it's not the complicated stuff, it's Class G. Uncontrolled airspace, down low. Everybody thinks Class G is the Wild West. No tower, no controller, do what you want, and the visibility can go down to 1 statute mile in the daytime, which sounds generous and free. But here's the part that bites. In Class G during the day, at or below 1,200 feet above the ground, the cloud clearance is just clear of clouds. No specific distance, just don't be in it. And clear of clouds, plus 1 mile visibility is a legal recipe for a genuinely dangerous situation. 1 mile of visibility in haze, scud running down low, clear of clouds, meaning you're skimming right along the bottom of the overcast. That is legal. That is also exactly the picture in 100 accident reports. Legal and safe are not the same word, and this is the regulation that proves it more than any other. At night in Class G, it tightens up because your eyes can't do the job the same way in the dark. The visibility and clearance requirements go back up. The rule is quietly telling you something true. What you can get away with in daylight will kill you after sunset, so let's pull this together into something you can actually carry. The examiner is looking for you to know these cold. On your check ride, the designated pilot examiner will absolutely ask you the cloud clearances, and they will not accept, 1,000 feet, something like that. They want 3, 1, 5, 2,000 for that everyday Class E below 10. They want you to know the visibility. And here's the deeper thing the examiner is really testing. Not whether you memorized a table, whether you understand that these numbers are a decision-making tool, not trivia, because here's how it actually works in the real airplane. You don't compute cloud clearances with a ruler, you use them as a line in the sand you drew before you left the ground. When you're up there and the weather is closing in and the visibility is getting soft, and the clouds are getting lower, the regulation is the thing that tells you the game is over before your optimism does. It gives you a hard number to hang your decision on so that I think I can make it runs into, I am now below the legal minimums, and legal minimums are already generous, so I am turning around. That's the gift of this rule. It makes the decision for you when you're least equipped to make it yourself. Continued visual flight into deteriorating weather is one of the oldest killers in general aviation. It has been near the top of the list for as long as anyone has kept the list. And 9155 is one of the tripwires designed to stop it if you'll let it. So here's what I want you to do on your next flight. Even a beautiful, clear, nothing to worry about day. I want you to look at a cloud, any cloud, pick one and ask yourself, out loud, am I 2,000 feet from that? 1,000 above it? Start building the instinct now when there's no pressure, when a wrong guess costs you nothing. Because the day you actually need this rule is not the day you want to be doing the math for the first time. Say it with me one more time so it's in there. Cessna 152. 1,000 above, 500 below. 2,000 horizontal, 3 miles to see it coming. That's the one that keeps you and the guy breaking out of the clouds from ever meeting. Everything today comes straight out of the Federal Aviation Regulations Part 91 and the plain language explanations in the FAA's own Aeronautical Information Manual and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Go read 155 for yourself tonight. It's shorter than you think. You can find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Give the clouds more room than you think you need. I'll see you back in the pattern.